Hello, and welcome to Iacon Underground Radio for the week of August 2nd, 2024. This is Jen, or Trix to some people.
And I'm David, a.k.a. Strange 4.
I did a poll on the site that I refuse to refer to as anything other than Twitter, asking if people thought of me as Jen or Trix, and let me go back to that. I was at 64.7% said it was Trix out of 17 people who saw my post because Twitter hates me. Yeah. The algorithm, like...
I seem to have missed it.
Yeah. The algorithm does not like me. It's kind of hilarious.
Well, also people are just freaking leaving.
No, I'll post like the exact same thing on Blue Sky and get like way more attention because the Twitter algorithm hates me. That's okay. I hate it. Anyway, hello. We are going to be facing an exciting conflict this week between the large amounts of news that we have to discuss this week and my COVID, which... Somehow, I'm pretty sure I didn't get it at TFCon because it's been like 2.5 weeks. It did manage to finally get me. I was a COVID virgin until earlier this week, and now I have been initiated into the ways of COVID.
It eventually will happen to basically everyone. Yeah. Hopefully yours is like mine, where it was like just a long cold.
Yeah, in my case, it started out...
long compared to me, which was like 3 days.
It started out, I thought it was a sinus infection, and then it was pretty clearly COVID, and I was in really rough shape for one day. And then today, like, my fever's already broke. The muscle soreness has gone away, but my throat's still not in the best of shape, and also my employer does not want me anywhere near the premises for a few more days, so we will see how long I can talk about all this exciting SDCC news that's come out this week. I have my trusty mug of throat coat tea, so A plus stuff. Yay. If you're podcasting, especially if you're podcasting with rough throat. But much respect to people who have dealt with much worse cases of COVID. I know I'm very lucky for it to be as mild as it seems to be. I was fortunate enough to be able to keep up with vaccination boosters and all that. So fingers crossed, but I know a lot of people have had it a lot worse than me, and I've got a lot of respect for that. SDCC... was this...
It did happen.
It was this past weekend. That is San Diego Comic-Con. It sounds like it's really making a comeback now because, of course, COVID kind of messed it up for a while. And then last year there was the big strike and not a lot of people around to promote their stuff. And then I'm making my stuff make noises. There we go. Now I have silenced things. this year, you know, Hall H had all the Marvel stuff going on, and we got a bunch of new promotional stuff. A big thing was Transformers 1. It had a new trailer.
Yay.
It looked pretty good. It looks, you know, it sort of raises the stakes a little more.
Yeah, I think the second trailer is better than the first one. Like setting the actual tone and maybe being less obliquely or overtly comedy.
Yeah, I thought the first one seemed maybe more fun, but the second one seems maybe more objectively good.
Yeah.
I feel like the first one was probably like more Act One stuff.
Hmm.
So, and this is a little more later into it. So we get to see the early days of the Decepticons there. Apparently Starscream is Steve Buscemi, which
that's been confirmed. Well, Wait, does he even speak in the second trailer?
It may have just been confirmed by somebody at the show. I don't know that he said much, but that has been confirmed at this point, I believe. But yeah, that works. That fits. That's appropriate.
I guess. Yeah.
There was a very pretty prop matrix on display, but you can't buy it. Sorry. But there will be something on that coming later in our notes here. Not quite that pretty, but a matrix. Hasbro went ahead and officially announced PulseCon for September 13th. At PulseCon, they will have a Dino King set that everybody's been waiting for.
Yes, among many things we want and need.
I guess it hadn't been confirmed what form the Dino King would take. Whether it would be just like a standard release or a fan channel release or a gift set or individual core class.
Or Hasbro Pulse thingy or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I figured that they were going to do a set of, because they're so small, they're core.
They're just little
guys.
It
just makes sense to do a set.
Which is appropriate because they're just little guys. I mean, I don't know if you've played with any of the original Monstructor dudes or...
Yes,
Dino
they're
Force
very
guys.
Tiny,
they're
very simple, and they've started to shatter.
They're so little. Also, this was something discovered actually many, many years ago. I think it was BotCon 98 when our friend Greg Sepulak bought a Dino King gift set and took it out and was like, why are they so sticky? Because
the
shells had started already at that point, started to plasticize.
The Monstructor ones have started to do that too, but it seems like the Dino King went faster.
Yeah, that they started getting sticky pretty fast. Well, these, their dino modes are the actual robotic dinosaurs, because of course they're just repaints and remolds of the core class Dinobots. So yeah, that's pretty exciting. They're going to be like Commander class price, so they're going to be a little pricey, but I mean, not unreasonable for current core class prices. And they've got, like, the extra kibble and all for combining. Yeah. And they're...
Yeah, they have different fists and they come with feet.
And they're in that nice gift
for
set.
The combiner mode.
It's a nice looking gift set.
Replicating the original.
Yes. So sticky.
Yeah, so I really want those guys, but...
Yep. So that'll be, you know, something to keep refreshing that website for on September 13th. Set your alarms to hit the website hard. We're going to bring
that
it down. It's going to be great.
Is that it's a Tuesday.
I was going to say, that's a good question.
Oh no, August, September. September. Friday.
Yeah. So be prepared. Be prepared.
Be prepared.
There were now at the at San Diego Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. That's where they present the Eisner Awards. As we mentioned before, the new Skybound Transformers ongoing was nominated for some of those, for like a bunch of those. In the first Eisner wins for a Transformers comic, it won both Best Continuing Series and Best Writer / Artist.
Ooh.
So,
well, it definitely deserves it for the art.
Yeah. So, hey, there we go. Transformers being recognized as actually having good comics. I mean, to be fair, the comics are usually some of the best Transformers fiction, with some exceptions, cough, Dreamwave. But, I mean, even that was extremely popular, if not objectively good. It definitely brought in a lot of money for the independent comic retailers, if not, you know, actually being good. But yeah, the Skybound series has been judged to be good by the comics industry. So yeah, it's nice to see Transformers comics getting recognized by the greater comics community. So yeah, we've won some Eisners now. Eisner Award-winning Transformers.
So Ooh, I'm going to have to edit a lot of coughs that you won't hear in the podcast.
Yeah, I am sorry about that, because...
I mean, it's okay. You, normally, I have to edit mine out, thanks to cat dander and stuff.
Because of the vid.
Yes.
So, there weren't a whole lot of big upcoming, like, mainline toy reveals. There's going to be a Gamer Ratchet that looks pretty good.
And will obviously also become Ironhide.
Yeah, presumably. It's got to eventually.
I think they said that in the reveal. That like.
Yeah, I think they said they have to make him a Voyager because Ironhide's got to be a chunky boy. You got to have Ironhide being big.
Also, like that model from the War for Cybertron games, it's just wide.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Being a Voyager makes sense.
So, there's going to be a core Bumblebee movie Starscream. And
okay. There's going to be more army building of those guys in many colors of the rainbow.
I want the. Still not getting enough appreciation for Action Master Thundercracker colors. And I need.
I know.
More
when
of
was
that.
The last time we got Action Master Thundercracker colors?
Man, it's been a while. I mean, I think there was
it just...
maybe a third party thing a bit ago.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely been a third party one. But, like, the last Hasbro one was. Or anything. Was. Is there a BotCon one?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if there's been a last Hasbro one because there was the BotCon. But that's not technically Hasbro. But yeah, there was the based on the classics mold. I have that one.
Hmm. It's. I mean, unless there's been like one of the Ultimates or something, but I don't think so.
No, nope. I would have bought it.
More often we'd be getting the G2 Ramjet.
I was really hoping that we would get the Siege Earthrise, etc. One of those, either the Tetrajet or the Earthjet. But no,
we haven't even gotten Sunstorm in forever.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, bright colors are in now.
I mean, he had like a handful.
Bright blocky colors are in again. They are in style.
I swear it's been over a decade since the last Sunstorm.
Yeah, so they need to get on that, because those colors are back in style. They need to get on top of trends. There is going to be a Studio Series Transformers 1 Megatron to go with the Prime. He is a leggy boy.
Yeah, oh, yes.
He is leggy.
Well, the
he got the long legs.
As we've seen more, the character models are very leggy, which... is an odd but interesting proportion. It I don't know, it reminds me of something else, but I can't quite place it. Well, I guess some Gundam designs are overly leggy, but most of them are more standard Transformers heroic proportions. Mm-hmm. But these guys are like all leggy. Yes,
which is fine. That's a stylistic thing you could do. Like giving them no noses. But here they have noses. Just long legs. School. So yeah, there were not a lot of big upcoming toy reveals. They did their whole space bridge for upcoming toys in their little live stream they did. But so I do really like that what they seem to be focusing on for a bit here is package refreshes and re-releases for stuff that people did not maybe get around to the first time.
Yeah, that's neat that they're doing, like, the Cosmos. It's like, I don't remember ever seeing him, and I didn't pre-order him.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to find a Walmart that had, like, three of them in top stock.
And the Bumblebee that matches with the Wheeljack, the Cybertron version, the Frisbee.
Yes, they're re-releasing that, so you can have him to hang out with your Wheeljack.
Yeah, because...
In case you didn't get him the first time around, because that was a couple years ago. They're re-releasing Tarn. I think I might have seen him in stores once, but he was, with me personally, if it's a character that I know I absolutely have to have, I'll pre-order them through Entertainment Earth or Big Bad Toy Store. And there's like a second level of characters that I'll see if I see him in the store, but if I don't, I'm not going to cry myself to sleep.
And then there's the I'll see if they're on sale.
Yeah, and then there's the clearance level. And then there's the I don't need this taking up space in my apartment level.
So. Yeah, but Tarn feels like a thing like most of us probably pre-ordered. And I saw them enough on shelves, or at least around here. And also we got like a 4-pack with slightly recolored Tarn. To me it feels weird that, okay, it makes sense we're getting Tarn again because people love Tarn.
Everybody loves Tarn.
But like I would have thought enough people would get Tarn at this point. I don't know.
I mean, obviously, and I mean it does look like his aftermarket value is going up a bit.
It's
so
big, yeah.
Also, they're doing Reactivate Bumblebee from that video game that is literally never coming out.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because they already put that out in a 2-pack. They're just sending it out again. Yeah.
So that one's coming out. Also, Armada Sideswipe, who we kind of knew was coming out because we had gotten the... Or not. Why did I put Armada Sideswipe in the notes? Armada Wheeljack, because he was Sideswipe in Shattered Glass.
Oh, right. Yes. Yes, my brain does that. Well, because I just think... Sideswipe from Gridman.
Yes.
Because he's that... Well, whatever. Yes. Sideswipe. Wheeljack. Sideswipe. Whatever. And also G2 Breakdown and a few other recolors. Like, it is, as you said, mostly just a refresh wave of things that were maybe short-packed or people want more of, like Tarn.
Yeah, I know there's...
And Wheeljack that I really want.
There's probably an argument that that's just Hasbro being cheap and not wanting to put out new stuff, but it's stuff people wanted, so it's kind of a win-win.
There's one of them is a thing that, like, was sort of teased a while... I think, yeah, even they announced the name because, like, there was no toy leak. Overcharge.
Yeah, for the... Like,
the Redeco Blitzwing.
The Diaclone color Blitzwing.
Yes, which, like, as soon as I heard it, it's like, I don't not need that Blitzwing. I'm getting Overcharge. Yeah. And then he didn't come out, but thankfully he apparently is. Because, like, I have previous Blitzwings they have made. I have animated Blitzwing. I don't really need another Blitzwing. But a ridiculous thing like Overcharge, yes, please.
I'm going to need to pause for a second that you can edit out because I obviously need, like, actual water to be drinking and not just not just a little bit of tea. Cool. So give me just a second.
Do you have Bluetooth headphones on? I don't know. I could yatter to you.
Yes, I do.
Yay. Well, yeah, also because Overcharge, like, his Hulk hands might be purple instead of red. It's weird that Blitzwing's Hulk hands are red. But if Overcharge still has them, big purple ones, yes, I want that. Crazy Energon weapons. Came with gloves?
All right, I've got my big Action Master Thundercracker colored Stanley Cup.
Oh. And I have discovered that my Dinobot 2 was supposed to come with white gloves.
Oh, for, like, handling?
Yeah, because he's got metallic paint.
I had some of those when they did that gold chrome version of the reissue Jazz. I was working at a 1-hour photo place, and they sold those for people wanting to, like, handle their negatives. So I had some, like, white photographic negative handling gloves for transforming that Jazz. Hmm. Anyway, okay. There was one big reveal from the pipeline, and that is that they are doing a Studio Series 86 Devastator, which is, I guess, going to be broken up into various multi-packs and price points. And so that's cool for people into Devastator. I mean, there was the one, Titan-size one. It sounds like this one's probably going to be a little smaller, but maybe that's more in scale. I don't know how much scale is mattering. I mean, it doesn't usually, but it should. Also, they revealed that Omega Prime, the HasLab one, is going to come with a little Titan Master. There's going to be a little Cerebro, because he does have some Titan Master compatible features.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't even
So
pay
if you didn't happen to
that.
Have any Titan Master sitting around, now you have a Titan Master to use his features.
Okay.
Also, because there was Brave Maximus in that, so he's designed to be, like, the Cerebros that would go with Brave Maximus.
That R.I.D. I really don't care about. I don't remember anything about that toy.
You only care about the other R.I.D.
Well, and Skybite.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's definitely a show that I should go back and rewatch, because I do have the UK DVD set that has been uploaded to YouTube.
I mean, I like Skybite and the Idiot Trio, but, like, the rest of the show... Okay, I guess Scourge was kind of neat, but it's like...
It was...
As a whole...
Definitely a show. It had...
Yeah.
It was an interesting series for character designs, for toy designs. So, but I mean, I'm happy for the people who got that. You know, I've got my yes. Victory ones with their MicroMaster buddies, so... Happy for people who have that.
I mean, I guess if that's funded and Death Source and other things, we may get more crazy shit.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, they gotta do Breast Force someday.
Mm.
Also, I have realized because we both picked up the Iron Factory
yes.
Kill Bison and Drillhorn. And I've realized that, see, I became familiar with Victory in the mid-90s through a bootleg VHS tape.
Yeah.
And I have been so familiar with Victory for so long that I have completely normalized the name Breast Force in my head. And I just don't think that anything is weird about it. And this has made me unsuitable for civilized conversation.
Breast Masters makes more sense in my brain. That's fine, because... They have a chest armor that comes off Breast Master. Breast Force, for some reason, feels like a step too far for
breast
me.
Breast Force. I'm just used to it.
Because it just makes me think of like in late 80s boob comedy.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I'm just too accustomed to it. So, I mean, they call them Chest Masters, which... I don't know. You could do better, but... That's just me, like, worrying about how the word flows and yada, 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 editory stuff. So.
Yeah, I don't know if they would do, like, because you'd have to, even if you're doing them at, like, deluxe scale, that'd be, like, six dudes all at once. They would be a lot.
Breast Force. Yeah, but people want them.
Yes, which is why we have become a third-party podcast now.
Also, where's Road Caesar? We need to get an official new Road Caesar. There's not enough love for Road Caesar.
That... I kind of see them trying
that's
that
only three.
First. Because those are... Yeah, three Voyager guys,
it's
I figured
three.
They would do.
We need to get them. Get them up in here. Also, on that subject, Galaxy Shuttle is one of the ones getting a re-release. So
Galaxy Shuttle.
That'll be nice, because I don't think I ever saw him in person.
I did not. I bought him online.
I mean, my Walmart is wildly unreliable. So, but yeah, that is also some collaboratives. Kit, he's got jeans.
Hmm.
He's called Agent Knight, which I guess is okay. But I mean, he's Kit. He's already a person. Like, these other vehicles have not been sentient previously. I feel like we need... No, he doesn't come with jeans, but his legs and crotch are blue. Like, jeans.
Oh, right, they're blue. Yeah.
Because David Hasselhoff's character wears jeans with, like, a black leather jacket. I could definitely see Kit, like, modeling his humanoid appearance on his buddy, but we need to respect that Kit is a sentient being, and... Whereas, like, Ectotron is a Cybertronian who is turning into the Ecto-1, or Gigawatt is a Cybertronian who is turning into the DeLorean, Kit is still a sentient being on his own.
For some reason, I remember Michael Knight wearing, like, really... Either it was really dark blue or black jeans.
No. You look it up.
Not blue jeans.
He also... It is very exciting, though, that he's got sound and light effects, even though it does wreck his ability to be in scale with the others, because they've got to make room for the electronics.
Yeah, he's a big lad.
We don't get enough electronics anymore. I love electronics.
Oh, of course, most of the photos are light. Okay. Oh, yeah, he does have lighter blue or darker blue sometimes. I remember the dark blue and black for some reason.
We don't get enough electronics. This is my opinion. My editorial opinion.
I mean, yes. I mean, okay, for the kit, if he didn't come with, like, a little red light, I would be very annoyed. But I didn't need the whole voice box thing, but I guess...
Yeah. I like it, but I think...
Considering, like, he does come with electronics, he's not that much more expensive.
But I do think we need to respect that Kit is his own person and...
Yeah.
Not a Transformer. I mean, he can be a Transformer, but he's him.
Yes, and he's definitely something I've pre-ordered. Like, I've skipped, like, a lot of the things. Like, I don't have the Ecto-1 or the DeLorean. But Knight Rider has been a Transformer I have wanted my entire life.
Yes. I got the...
and finally,
I'm one of the, like, two people who found the DeLorean at Ross.
I think I saw the Ecto-1 at GameStop or something?
I ended up getting the Ecto-1, like, from a collector sale, but he's a real good solid toy. Because I wanted the first edition that had, like, the goggles up.
Oh.
Because I like that head better. I'm a face person. Faces, we'll get to this in a moment. Faces on Transformers are very important to me. I mean, it's okay if they're going to have a mask sometimes, but I like faces. Anyway.
I don't know. I think I prefer masks for a lot of times. I mean, face guys are cool, but it's like...
Opinions can differ.
A lot of my favorite guys tend to be mask dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Or mono eyes.
Well, having a face is the G.I. Joe Collaborative Cup, who turns into the Triple T and comes with little Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh. Yeah, Sergeant Slaughter and there's another guy. I don't remember the other guy's name.
Other guy. Some G.I. Joe dude.
Yeah, some
Was
guy.
It Leatherneck? I'm just going to start throwing out names. Okay.
Yes, Leatherneck.
If it wasn't Leatherneck, I was just going to start throwing out names of G.I. Joes at random. Is it Shipwreck?
No, but
is it Lifeline?
The cup? It's Leatherneck.
I thought so.
He's Leather. Anyway, but the cup looks really solid, like in vehicle mode and bot mode. He's a little chunkier than Cup usually is,
but
it looks
good. He's not bad. Actually, when we were at TFCon, the friend from the Foster agency who came over to cat sit, I was showing her around the place because she was, you know, coming into my apartment, and she saw the Cobra Hiss because I've got the HasLab Hiss, and she asked if that was also a Transformer, and I was like, no, but there is a Transformer of it.
Yeah, I got the Transformer one in it, but that's... He's another big thing I just haven't opened and found a place yet.
I've got the HasLab one, and it's loaded up with Dreadnoks. Zarana is in the driver's seat. She is not licensed to operate a Hiss, and she does not care. So there is also... also worth mentioning is that, like the other G.I. Joe collaboratives, this is the 3 3/4 scale, not classified scale.
Yeah.
There's also a Transformers and Converse collaboration, but it's not Shoe Transformers, sadly. We may have seen our last...
Because Shoe Transformers have happened once before.
They have! They have happened.
Confusing.
Also, it makes me sad because my feet aren't narrow enough for Converse shoes, like, when I was 15.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, I have a pair of Converse, and last time I put them on... Like, over 40, our feet have just gotten wider.
Yeah, it sucks. But they'll do a collaborative with, like, I don't know, Dr. Scholl's, Merrill.
Or I guess, well, because I have gone up a shoe size the last time I got shoes, because my feet are wider and they fit. Admittedly, the toes are a little long. But...
Same. I had to buy new hiking shoes. It sucked.
Yeah. Yeah, the red ones I had at the convention.
Nice.
Which are very nice. And
I have
thick.
I had my Andy Cousins memorial sneakers at the convention. The many, again, bright colors, just chunky bright colors are in style now. And Hasbro needs to get on those 1990 Euro homages. They need to get on that because that is back in style.
Oh, yeah. G2. Everything G2 colored sneakers.
Yes. So, also, Takara was showing off some upcoming repaints, I think at a different... I know there was an animation comic game Hong Kong show going on.
Or maybe Takara was just showing off things separately from SDCC.
The important thing is, blah, 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 some repaints. Also, Throne Collection 01.
Yeah, the Oh, wait, is it the Starscream Throne?
It's a gray version of the Starscream Throne. Yeah. And one, I like that because I was honestly... I have Earthrise Starscream. But I almost bought another one at Ollie's with the throne so that I could give the throne to G-Axis. So yeah. I am now glad to be able to get just the throne that I can then give to G-Axis. I also like that 01 implies that not only are additional thrones planned, but more than 10 additional thrones.
It's just standard. We don't know how many we're going to do. Maybe we're going to do more than 10, but like there'll probably be an Energon purple translucent one. Probably also put out the Deathsaur's throne.
They might. I don't know. That was a HasLab thing, and I can see that being something they want to keep exclusive.
Rest of Deathsaur's is exclusive. Just put out the throne or modify the throne so it's slightly different because it
maybe
was also
a
designed
modified
to hold weapons.
I could see a modified one, but Throne Collection 01.
Yeah,
I am excited.
But the other stuff is neat. It's like there's Yellow Optimus Prime. I forget why. There's Armada Thundercracker version of Starscream.
Yeah, it was weird. They're calling that, I guess, Sentinel Prime.
Oh, yeah, the yellow one. Well, yeah, I guess that is an okay name for a yellow Optimus with trailer. Yeah.
I mean, there was Splendid Convoy, which was one of those convoys when they were just putting out a bunch of convoys all over the place. And it's, like, a lady one, and she's just... the RID, the car robots, Prime and Yellow.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a yellow missing Link Optimus for reasons.
He's Sentinel because he has a red mask.
Oh.
So yeah, I guess he is more Sentinel color. I didn't notice all the clothes before when I saw it. I really want either that Dinobot hat or the Constructicon hat. But they're like $50.
Yeah.
Which actually is about the right price for high-end bucket hats, because I got one. Well, two. I ordered a second one, because I like bucket hats.
Oh, those bucket hats are really cute, though.
They're really cute. Like, if there was an easier way to get it, like, hey, Hasbro Pulse, put out some of this, at least the hats. I will buy a hat. Because it's reversible. Faction logo on one side.
There's a movie Bumblebee here, and then there's also the new studio series one that comes with one of the magazines or something, but they're clear yellow plastic, and it just feels extremely 2004 to me.
Yeah.
Oh, I kind of like the t-shirt that's just the Japanese Transformers logo. Because I'm a nerd. There's also a bunch of new Flame Toy stuff from ACGHK. So the animated Prime looks pretty impressive. I guess it's important to break down the different lines, because I don't know if you have noticed with Flame Toys, their high-end stuff is extremely high-end.
Yeah. Well, that's the high end is the Kurokara one?
Yes, Kurokara Curry, which I was very tempted by that jazz at TFCon that was
that's what that was.
$300 US. It's like $450.
Big and expensive.
But he looks so good though. He doesn't even transform, but it's okay because he lights up. So they had a prototype for a Die Atlas. An IDW Ultra Magnus and a Starscream.
The Starscream that's like all Starscreams because he's mostly G1, plus he comes with the cape and the crown and stuff. But he's also got like the Cybertron wing gun things and like missile pods and all kinds of nonsense. Like they threw everything for pretty much well, most major Starscreams, not skinny Prime Starscream, yeah. But everything else, it's like, he's loaded.
So the animated Optimus is going to be one of the model kits, so that should be a little more accessible.
Oh, yeah, the Furai stuff. Which I have one, I just need to build Acid Storm at some point.
It's also a Banzaitron. There's something Furai Action Beast Megatron. I don't know if that means it's a figure that's not a model, but it's in the same Furai price points.
Yeah. Maybe he has some sort of action feature, or...
Also, they're doing a G1 Megatron.
Might transform.
They're doing Banzaitron, which I guess is appropriate for a non-transforming line. They're doing a Shockwave, and they're doing Hound, which I like, but yes. I have a feeling, based on their whole aesthetic, that it's probably not going to be the very poseable Hound that I've been hoping for to take camping.
Well, he's kind of chunky in bits. It looks like he's kind of poseable.
I mean, they've got him posed out pretty
well. But he's also got, like, a shootload of weapons.
I just need him to have, like, friendly hands for doing outdoor stuff. Taking photos of on hiking trails and stuff. Oh well, someday.
Oh wow, that Banzaitron model does look really nice, but I got a Banzaitron, the Ultimates version, so I don't need another big Banzaitron.
Banzaitrons are good. There's also at SDCC, there was some 3-0 and some YOLO Park stuff for Transformers 1. So the exciting thing for me about that is that I feel like all of the Transformers we've gotten so far, or all the Optimus Primes we've gotten so far for one, have been more like Optimus Prime and less Orion Pax. Yeah. And this goes back to me liking a face. But at least I've heard good stuff about the YOLO Park stuff, the G1 stuff they've done so far. And they are doing both the, like, pre-transformation and post-transformation versions of the core cast.
Oh.
So they will have, like, an Orion Pax and a D-16, but then also an Optimus Prime and a Megatron.
Hmm.
So you can have the twink versions, and you can have the grown-up versions. And that is good and appropriate. But they will also have those of Alita 1 and Bumblebee. BBBBB.
Hmm.
So yeah, there's it seems like there's a lot of merchandising for one, including, this actually just came out today. Mm-hmm. Target has listings for Halloween costumes.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I just added that to the show notes.
Oh god, with masks and
look
the Matrix.
The Matrix does not come with that costume. It's sold separately.
That's ooh.
Which means that there will be a costume.
And if it's a costume one, it's yeah, but if it's a costume version of the Matrix, it should be like more rough and tumble, easy to carry around and cheaper.
Yes.
I need that.
The one pictured does look... I mean, that looks like a solid roleplay Matrix.
Yeah, that looks like the regular one.
That looks like a pretty good solid roleplay Matrix, so I may have to go hit up Spirit Halloween to get myself a proper Matrix to have.
Yeah.
But the masks are... they just look like... modern kids Halloween costumes, so they look exactly like you'd expect.
Well, they also sort of look like old Halloween costume masks. It's like memories.
I mean, at least it's not just like a cheap plastic tunic with a picture of what you're dressed up as.
Yeah, no. No, the shoulders are actual bulked up like they are in the movie, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, they look fine if you're a kid. I'm mostly just interested in that Matrix.
Yes.
So, I guess if we're not going to get the fancy shiny one that they had on display at the convention, we can at least get something. So there's one other thing that you wanted to mention that is not directly related to Transformers, but it's kind of tangential.
No, it's not directly.
It's Transformers.
It's tangential.
Adjacent, I'm going to say, by way of Marvel UK.
Yes,
because I have no idea what this announcement was, so you're going to have to explain.
No, neither do I. It was just a Japanese announcement with a picture saying Spider-Man and Zoids collab, and a picture of Spider-Man, a general marketing picture of Spider-Man. So who knows what the heck it is, if it's just, it's a Zoid spider in Spider-Man colors or something. But it just made me remember, alright, Transformers UK put a Spider-Man and Zoids comic out for 51
issues.
They
did. I mean, well, keep in mind, though, this is the UK. Mm. Which means that was approximately a year.
It was a weekly comic. It was, yeah.
So they put it, that's about how long Action Force got.
Yes, it's not a lot. It was like Spider-Man reprints and some new Zoids comics. Some of them written by Grant Morrison, which I think it was his first comics.
Yeah, I think this is one of their earliest things. Was the...
Oh, there, right, I forgot.
Yes.
Pronouns.
Grant Morrison, for those who don't keep on top of comic news, is going by they/them now. So, very cool for them.
Yes, because I confuse all the British writers way too often.
It took me a while to be able to properly distinguish between Grant Morrison and Garth Ennis and Warren Ellis.
Yeah.
But eventually I got accustomed enough to remember that Grant Morrison is the one that I rather like, and Warren Ellis I can take or leave, and Garth Ennis I just really don't care for.
And there's so many M names, because I always get Alan Moore mixed in there somewhere, but he's the old wizard one.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
Yes.
Also, he's a bit older. I tend to think of Morrison and Ellis and Ennis as being, like, the same generation. Mm. But yes, this is some of Grant Morrison's earliest comics work is on the Zoids comic.
I think he was like the last writer on it when they just kind of stopped and cut off the story midstream.
Yeah. Also did a backup story for Action Force about how Quick Kick knew Shang-Chi.
Yeah, so Zoids are at least tangential. The Transformers, they're little robot things.
I mean, that was all
just owned
part of the same, I think part of the same editorial office at Marvel UK. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Zoids is a Bandai property.
Yeah, because almost everything
is. Or is it Tomy? Where was it Tomy? I don't know.
Maybe it was Tomy.
Now you're going to need to look it up.
Yes, I have to look it up. Because there was something else recently, like Zoids was coming. Like it was an anniversary year of Zoids, and they're doing other collabs.
I keep up
with
Zoids just enough. Okay,
yeah,
so it says created by Tomy. Just enough because my younger coworker, like Zoids, so occasionally I'll send him pictures of Zoids from the comic shop, and he'll be like, no, but that's from that one series I didn't like as much. I'm like, okay. But yeah, no idea what the Spider-Man Zoids collaboration
came out of nowhere, like yesterday. It's like,
but
what?
That is...
And then I was showing people pictures of the Zoids in Spider-Man comic, and there was louder, what?
Yes, I was aware of that just because I have stuck my fingers into the knowledge pool of Marvel UK in the 80s. Had heard that that was some of Grant Morrison's earliest work. I think I brought that up to Simon Furman at one point. He remembered that with amusement. Because they were all in the same office at the time. That was all just the whole big editorial pool. And then you wanted to say something about Magic the Gathering.
Just a minor update since going to TFCon got me into finally playing Magic the Gathering after, 25 years or so? Or at least 20. No. Mm-hmm. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is 25. I think Magic is a couple years younger.
My nephews Yu-Gi-Oh! Is definitely newer than Magic the Gathering.
It is?
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, unless it was going for a decade in Japan before it came over here.
No, because Yu-Gi-Oh! Like just had its 20th anniversary. Is it this year or last year?
Magic the Gathering absolutely came out when I was in high school because I had friends who played it. And the problem was my family was lower middle class in an upper middle class district. So what actually happened was that I had friends with stupid amounts of money who would go buy all the best cards and immediately ruin everything for everyone else. So that's why I never got into Magic. The end.
Yeah. Anyway, I've started getting more. I still don't understand the damn game yet.
But you can have Transformers and they're legendary artifact. I know, but
that's the entire
creatures,
point.
I guess.
Yeah, they're complicated. They're like commanders or something. I'll hopefully figure it out at some point. It's like, because my brain just reverts to, because I played Yu-Gi-Oh! For almost a decade. It's like, I know Yu-Gi-Oh! Mm-hmm. I could play Yu-Gi-Oh! Or at least outdated Yu-Gi-Oh! But Magic is just, something about it just doesn't gel in my head. I think maybe it's the elements stuff is weird.
My my nephews have started playing Yu-Gi-Oh! And my sister informed me of this, and so I sent her a link to those Transformers Magic the Gathering cards. And then she got to a point of it that mentioned shattered glass, and I was like, do not even get me started about shattered glass if we are not conversing in person, because this text conversation cannot contain my thoughts and feelings and opinions about shattered glass, because I guess there's some shattered glass stuff in there.
Yes, there are, because most of the cards, maybe all of them, there's a shattered glass. No, not all of them, because the tokens don't have it, but there's a shattered glass version of most of them. Like, I have Shattered Glass, Blaster, and Jetfire.
Yeah.
Because they were cheap.
I was like, don't even get me started.
Of course, there's Megatron, Optimus, Starscream, Shattered Glass. Slicer, who's apparently one of the more expensive cards.
Ooh. I mean,
yeah, so it's interesting enough that I want to get into it. Mm-hmm. I just haven't fully grasped it yet. Well, also, I haven't had enough time to play Arena. Anyway, that's a minor thing that will probably be a recurring update every once in a while. It's like, does David understand Magic yet? No.
I have opinions about them being artifact creatures, but that can be left for some other time.
That's also another thing. I don't understand what... Well, I guess artifact creatures are basically like trap monsters. Sort of.
See, I figured that just was saying that they were like artificial beings.
Well, also that too. Because they can be treated as a creature and a vehicle, which is a different thing because apparently mounts are a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Another thing I haven't grasped yet.
I don't know. So, we like to do... I personally have decided that we need to do a shipping report. For the things that are available now. Everybody's...
Oh, that kind of shipping.
Yes. It's funny because it's like a double entendre. But what I mean is, what toys can you go out and find on the shelves right now?
Yeah.
Everybody has got Transformers 1 stuff in, at least all the Targets. I personally have not ventured into my Walmart in a good week or two because it's feral in there. But... Target, at least, is well-stocked on Transformers 1 stuff. There is a mainline Optimus, and there's Studio Series Optimus. There's Race Changers.
Yeah, there might have been more at my store. I don't think so. I only saw a couple of little things. And I got... Wait, what is it actually called?
You said you got a Megatron that needed documentation on the TF Wiki. It's called...
What does it say on the box? Where is it? Race and Blast Megatron.
Uh-huh.
Which is a remold of... Oh, was it?
Overload.
Yes, Overload from Robots in Disguise 2015.
The one who's an actor who they said was the one who took Bumblebee's voice, to which I say, okay.
Yes. So it's appropriate that now he's a Megatron. With heavy remolding, like the arms, I think, are the same. The crotch, the mini-con launcher, but the chest and legs are all new.
Mm-hmm.
And his gun is on the wrong side, which is funny.
Oops.
But he also comes with a mini-con he can launch.
Yeah,
which was the main selling point for me.
Like, in the movie? Question mark?
No, it's because he was a tank, and it's like, hey, we can remold this tank. Although it would be awesome if Whirlwing has a cameo in the movie
there are
as
other
a ball-shaped
tanks.
Dude.
It's weird. It's, I mean, Well, on the subject of Hasbro reusing old stuff.
Yes.
So, out of nowhere, the 2018 Power of the Primes Optimus Prime started showing up at Targets.
It did? I thought that was like a one-off.
See, people thought at first it was a one-off. And then a second person found it. And then more people started finding it.
Okay.
So, I have checked with an acquaintance of ours who is in fan channel sales. And this is apparently something that Hasbro is sending to Target right now.
Weird.
It's not a strict exclusive, so it's possible some might show up at Amazon or something like that. Mm. It's not an exclusive in the way that, like, Target Optimus is an exclusive, but yeah. Target is the primary one ordering them. They are probably not likely to show up at fan channel retailers, so if you want one, keep an eye on your Target. Don't bother trying to go to Big Bad Toy Store or Entertainment Earth. But yeah, it is intentional. It's not just a back-in-the-stockroom find.
Weird.
Apparently,
like, I mean, it's a good toy, but it's, like, weird.
Apparently, this is something that's just going to start happening occasionally. Hasbro's just being a lot more generous about rerunning stuff and looking at doing that for exclusives rather than producing entirely new toys for exclusives. It's weird, but it's a change. It's a change in how Hasbro's doing things, but it is intentional. I have not been in my Target this week on account of the COVID, so I cannot attest as to whether my local Target has had these yet.
Mine has not.
But this is something that is intentional. I believe the shelf price is $55, and that's just what they're going to be. Not a one-off. It is fully intentional, and it's just something that we're going to see every so often.
Weird.
The Takara versions of Earthspark Wave 5 Deluxe figures, which includes the Season 2 Hashtag, who's a pickup truck. It includes Aftermath, who I know you're interested in.
Yes.
And a few of the others. They are out in Japan. They have shipped from online retailers.
Yeah, people have gotten them over here.
I think Surugaya is the one who a lot of people have gotten them from. So that is something that's hitting the shelves over there. The G1 score is now available on digital and vinyl. That is $9.99 on iTunes if you want to buy it digitally, if you want to buy the vinyl. Now, I will say, for those who are absolute nerds like me, this is basically the same as the vinyl that came out a few years ago that's, like, ridiculously collectible now, except for one extra track that's not even really very good. If you already have that previous release of it from, I think, Enjoy the Tunes Records, if you have that one, you don't really need to buy this one again. If you missed that one, though, buy this one, save yourself the whatever couple hundred of dollars that thing is going for on eBay now, and you'll have the same music. But again, that is also available digitally now, which it was not with the previous release, except for, like, I know a guy who ripped it to digital and was putting, you know, sharing that among friends, but that is not the same as an actual digital master. So that is exciting. Also, we have actually gotten an updated release date for that Beast Wars score.
Oh, yay.
Because that was supposed to come out, and then it did not. I will say that I was so expecting it to be available that I, like, told Siri to play it, and it wasn't there. And I was like, but it's the day it's supposed to be out, right? But no, that has been moved to August 23rd. So I will have to wait until August 23rd to hit that button on my car and say, play the Beast Wars soundtrack and have it actually work. So yes, August 23rd for that. So to wrap it up with our discussion topic for the week, because we are running a little long, of course, because it's SDCC, we got a lot to say. But my voice is reminding me about the COVID. So everybody really seems to like Transformers 1.
Yeah, like the reviews, like the early ones were good, and they continue to be good. Please be good.
So there have been a couple events. I know this was the sort of thing that used to pop up sometimes when I was in Columbus, too. So it's, you know, I'm in the middle of nowhere now and don't see see things like these promotions anymore. But there have been some advanced screenings. And they have... the first round of them was like no spoilers whatsoever. Then the second round of them, they have now, officially said that don't spoil the movie, but you can talk about your impressions online. The thing I think that really has me paying attention is that both fans and, like, movie people are saying good things about it. Like, people who are not invested in Transformers necessarily. And I mean, I'm not the sort of person who thinks that I'm not going to go into something and say, like, oh, but what, you know, how are people who aren't big nerds going to feel about this? Because I really just care about how I'm going to feel about it. So, but still, I think that people in the fandom are going to be more likely to be positively inclined towards something that's Transformers, whether it's objectively good or not. See also Transformers the movie, which I love, but which is not an objectively good movie.
Well, no, no, no.
But it does, like, everybody really seems to like it. And I know that there's always going to be a little bit of a positive bias towards stuff that you get to go to an advanced showing of. But still, it's not just... I mean, I love Ben Yee, but he likes everything.
he is joyous and excited. Yeah.
But it's not just the Ben Yees of the fandom. It is also people who tend to be a little more... honestly critic. I'm not going to say he's not honest about it, because he's just genuinely like that. But people who do tend to be a little more critical of things seem to really like it. I cannot imagine living in a world where there is an objectively good Transformers movie, but I think we may be getting there. That may happen this year. This may be the year.
Wow, that is a weird concept. It's like the old animated movie we love so much, but it's Star Wars and other junk sort of glued together.
It's such a mess. It's so fun, but it's such a mess. Music,
but yeah. And the first Bay movie is good-ish. Definitely compared to the rest of them.
Yeah.
And the Bumblebee movie, I guess, is objectively good.
Yeah, the Bumblebee movie is good. I personally kind of feel like it's burdened a little bit by being saddled with the legacy of the Michael Bay stuff, but...
Yes, that does complicate it. Well, also, like, on the wiki at least, like, Transformers 1 is roped into the whole Bay movie continuity somehow, which is still confusing.
Well,
like, even if it is, I feel like it should be its own continuity family now.
I think that's going to become more clear, you know, as the movie actually comes out, because I mean, I know that producer guy, whichever, is it De Bonaventura, like, runs his mouth off and doesn't actually understand any of the story stuff.
He was running his mouth off at all the Bay movies too, so
yeah. So I think they're taking it on his word that it's in continuity, but it's not. Like, I think even the director was like, it's not. So, yeah, between that and Eisner Awards for the comics, we may be having a banner year for objectively good Transformers storytelling.
Yeah.
So that would be pretty amazing.
Oh, it does turn around. Sure.
That would be... Oh, there's a word. That would be wild. All right. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Again, the Thursday premiere will be on my birthday. So, happy birthday to me. But yeah, I have upgraded. You know, I started out as hoping for the best and expecting the worst. And I upgraded from there to cautiously optimistic. And now I am moving up to genuinely optimistic. I think having other people, like I said, both in the fandom and just movie critics seeing advanced screenings and saying, yeah, it's actually pretty great. That's that makes me feel pretty optimistic about it. All right, so anything else to add for this week?
I know we've run on long enough.
Yep, gonna let my poor throat heal.
I do like my new little weird Megatron.
Yay!
Although his mini-con shooting gimmick is not quite right anymore.
We need to keep me out of stores before I impulse buy all the one Optimuses. Maybe I'll just get the mainline one, because this... Why is the Studio Series one so yellowed? It's not like there was a yellowed one on TF Wiki for them to mismatch. It just, it's more sepia-toned than the regular color one. Like, they were like, well, if this one's for adults, we can't make it as bright, so we're just going to tweak the colors on it and make it more sepia. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. But yeah, if you get to a store and see the mainline one and the $5 more expensive Studio Series next to each other. But the Studio Series one does come with a removable matrix that he can hold.
Oh.
So that's tempting. That's tempting. So that is it for this week. I guess we should do better at plugging all the stuff at the end of episodes, because I'm bad at that, because I let Rob do it.
I'm
bad at structure and form. So yes, you can find us on iaconunderground.net. We have a Patreon there to help with our expenses. That is patreon.com/iaconunderground. For July's episode, we were with our Stasis Pod co-host Rob talking about the Ultimate Spider-Man episode where Deadpool showed up. And
dreading every minute of it.
Oh man, it was, it could have been better. What I really wanted it to be, and I realized that of course I failed to think of how to communicate this until like the day after we recorded. What I really wanted it to be was Deadpool commenting on being in a kid's show and knowing that he is not suitable for being on a kid's show. So he's like, had to replace his swords with pool noodles or something. But what it is basically like an episode of the old Mask cartoon. And I do not mean Mobile Armored Strike Command. I mean Rob Paulsen pretending to be Jim Carrey. So yeah, also jump scare for Gen Z online terminology. that was not okay.
It was painful for us, but hopefully it's a good episode to listen to.
Yes, so that is patreon.com/iaconunderground. We are all over the social media, though at this point I know I need to probably be trying to post more news, but we do post new episode announcements there. We are on Mastodon on the retro.pizza server, which I actually run, at Iacon Underground at retro.pizza. We are on Blue Sky at Iacon Underground. I still bother to occasionally cross post things to the website that I refuse to stop referring to as Twitter, at Iacon UG. And I should probably set our Facebook back up, because I've noticed there are a lot of old school fan people over on Facebook.
That was Rob's department. Let him handle the Facebook.
If you go to iaconunderground.net, though, you can find a link to our Discord. So you can come and chat on our Discord. It is, it's fun, and we are hoping to get more people there so it can be more fun.
Yeah.
All right, so that is it for this episode. Hopefully next time I will have shaken off the last of this COVID and be sounding a little bit better. But until then, this is Jen.
And David, who has mostly transformed a third-party Dinobot too, but not quite, because there's no instructions. I had to try and find a video online.
Oh, that's rough.
Good night.
That's rough, buddy.
I haven't gotten his torso together, but the rest of it's okay.